Everything and that nothing is missing. We pray that as we meet together, that you would be honored and glorified by all that is said and done. We do pray for our brother Waite, that you would use him to teach and preach your word effectively, and that we would receive a blessing from it. And if there be something in our lives that is not pleasing to you, may you, through your spirit, point out those areas, and may we grow and change and be more like Jesus each day, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Good to see everybody here today. Trust that we'll have a great day. Don't have any special announcements here just for our Sunday school hour, but the only thing is to welcome Brother Waite and his wife. We're glad to have you with us today. Hope we'll be a blessing to you as you are to us. All right, let's get back to singing. We'll sing one more song here. 415. 415. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning.
So far today, good singing. Usually, when we meet during Sunday school, we can recognize anybody who had a birthday or is going to have one this week. Well, it's Lance's birthday, and we already sang to him last week because he was here. So if any of you missed that, he was already here last Sunday. He lives all the way out in Harrisburg and isn't able to come out too often, but it was great to see him last week, and we mentioned his birthday last time, but that's the only birthday that I know of, unless somebody wants to admit to it. All right. Well, for our memory verses, we've been looking at Psalm 100, and we've gone on to the last verse of the chapter, and so we'll take a moment and say all five verses together, Psalm 100. And following that, Brother Waite, you can come on up and speak then. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Let's say it together. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. All right. Brother Waite.
That's on. Good. Just pass a few things out here before everything. There's four.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Here you go. So, the Gospel of John. What is this? What are some things that that we know about John's Gospel before? We talk about the Gospel of John. Notice for the first time, maybe it's not the first time, but re-noticed here in Psalm 100, God's the one that made us. We didn't make ourselves. We know that. But there are people that we know that think otherwise. They think all sorts of strange things about how we got here. But it's God. He's the one that has made us. Interesting observation from Psalm 100 this morning. But going to the Gospel of John, what are some things that we already know about the Gospel of John? And first of all, we'll say, ask the question, who is John? And who is the writer of the Gospel of John? Go ahead. What was your name?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Who is the writer? Now, God is the author, but who is the writer of the Gospel of John? John, okay, John, of course, the very name of that, but who is the apostle, okay? He was one of the 12, and he was the one, if we had to rank and I'm not sure. He was the last apostle to die. He was the last apostle to die of the 12. He died on the Isle of Patmos, we suspect, we believe. And when we think of John, what are some other books that he has penned? First, what was that now? First John, Second John, Third John, the epistles. And is there something else?
Revelation.
He also penned Revelation as well. And so that's five books in all that he has written, right? Five books in all that he has written. This is his gospel. Now, what is it that characterizes John's gospel from the other gospels? Now, how many gospels are there again total? There's four gospels. Now, what is distinct from John's gospel versus the other three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke? Sam? It proclaims the deed of Jesus Christ. And what are some other things? The first three are sometimes called, have you ever heard the word synoptic gospels? Synoptic gospels, that has the idea of the word synoptic means Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they see things together. Now, yes, but we'll see here in John chapter 1, the deed of Jesus Christ is clearly proclaimed. But it's in the focus of the ministry. We have, if you think of, let me think in my mind here, we have a picture in your mind, Israel. Over the Mediterranean, and you can think of the Mediterranean Sea, and there's Israel. Way on the eastern part of the Mediterranean Sea. And then up in the northern part of Israel, to the southern part of Israel, there's a river that goes between the two, between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. And so we have on the one side, so you have the Jordan River, is what separates kind of the western part and the eastern part, at least in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle John, he focused on what was called the area of Perea. He had a Perean ministry, which is primarily on the other side of the Jordan River. On the I'm not the best with my compass directions. It's on the eastern side of the Jordan River, and so that's generally speaking, there may be a few exceptions, but generally speaking, that it was the focus of his ministry. And so we look here in the beginning of John's gospel. John chapter 1, if we read, let me think here, John chapter 1, let's do it this way. Let's have this first row here. We can read the first six verses. So we started, what was your name, sir?
Dave.
Brother Dave, read verse 1, we go all the way over here until we get to verse 6. So start, go ahead, Brother Dave, read verse 1.
All right. John's first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
The name was in the beginning with God.
All things were made by him, and without him not anything was made that was made.
And him was life, and the life was the light of men.
And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John.
Well, thank you. These are the first six verses. I'm not trying to, I'm walking by where the people are reading, so people that are listening to this later on can hear that you are reading, because I'm not sure, because I have a microphone, and I want to get you close to the microphone so that they can hear the verse being read. That's why I was walking across like that. So next time I'm going to walk in the middle here so they can pick up the readers in the middle. But we noticed here in this verse, it says, and I do have a little questions here, but we'll see. So in the beginning was the Word. And so the question, first question, who was in the beginning? The Word. Now notice the Word. That's right, that's fine. The Word. The Word was in the beginning. Now, a question to ask is, when is the beginning? Where else in the Scripture do we notice the word beginning being used? Yes?
Genesis.
In the beginning, God created. In the beginning. So God is our, he is the creator. But here, the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word. Now, is this the inscripturated Word or the incarnate Word? Is this the written Word of God or is this the living Word of God here in this verse? It's the living Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Bible continues to say, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. So, as Sam mentioned, this is the demonstrates that we're talking about the deity of Jesus Christ. We have the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. We have, there are three members of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we speak of the God, an inseparable Godhead, which we cannot really comprehend, but it's inseparable. Father, Son, and Spirit. And John is telling us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. So if, because when we think, when we consider this, if Jesus Christ was not God, or I should say, if Jesus Christ is not God, if Jesus Christ is not God, what does that mean? What does that mean to our theology? If Jesus Christ is not God, what would that mean?
We'd be like anything else.
We'd just be a mere human being. But we have to understand this, though it's very important for us to understand the fact and accept the fact that Jesus Christ is God. Perfect God and perfect man. In the beginning was the, nothing up to look at yet. The same was in the beginning with God. That's the same. The Word was with God. And we notice here, as we talk about in the book of Genesis, even in the book of Psalm 100, verse 3, God is the creator of all, God is the creator of all things. We notice in this verse, in verse verse 3, all things were made by him. Now, who knows anything about antecedents? What is an antecedent? Does anyone know that fancy word, antecedent, pronoun, antecedent agreement, and so forth? The idea is the pronoun. What is this pronoun referencing? The him. The Word. That's right, Sam.
The person spoken before.
This person spoken before. And so we have here the him is referring to the person spoken before, who is the Word. All things were made by him. So the Word made all things. And we know later on from our study of the scripture that the Word is Jesus Christ. Him. Lord Jesus Christ made all things. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Now, without, it's an obvious thing. But what does without mean? How do we use the word without today?
Means absolutely nothing.
You know, so nothing happened without him. Nothing was made without him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So everything we see today, the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word, had something to do with it being made. Sometimes there's things we can't even see that he had stuff that he was able to have hand in, that he had a hand in making. We could bring in microscopes, electron microscopes, and we could just see stuff that we've never seen before because they're microscopic. But yet, the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, without him was not anything made that was made. It just didn't happen. And I think there are things the electron microscope can't even see that was made by him. We can't demonstrate it. We can't prove it. But I believe there is. There's things even smaller than the electron microscope or whatever the super most powerful microscope there is. There's a scientist going to maybe might visit us later on today. I have to ask her if she comes. Referencing, I'm talking about my daughter. She knows a lot about science, so she may know about the most powerful, maybe electron microscope is not the most powerful one, but those microscopes can be very powerful. But the point is, not to talk about microscopes, it's to talk about this word without. Without him was not anything made that was made. I have another question coming, I think, don't I? In him, that's in him meaning the Lord Jesus. Of course, question two there, we know the answer. Who made all things? Again, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one. He is the one who made all things. He is the one who made all things. And let's look at verse 4 here. In him, that's referring to, again, the him antecedent, the pronoun him, references the Lord Jesus Christ. In him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, when we think about life for a moment, what's life? How would we describe life? How do we describe consciousness? How do we describe life? What's the difference between you have you live? We said talk about breathing. Yes. Things that are alive breathe. That's correct. You have, I guess they call inanimate and animate objects. But life, something that has life in it, I know plants are living in a certain way, and they breathe differently. You know, they have to have carbon dioxide, I guess it is. But life, everything we see that moves has life. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Now, it says in him was life. Now, the antecedent of him again goes back to the Word. You know, the Word was made flesh. And in the Word, we have life. He was alive. Past, present and future. He is alive. And that life became the light of all men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's only because of what Christ has done on the cross for us that we have light. You know, in the Old Testament times, they walked, you know, they prophesied of this great light that would come. He's referring to Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel. In him was life, and that life was the light of all men. And we notice here the light shining in verse 5. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, if we were to come into this building at midnight, It would be dark, obviously. But when we turn the lights on, we could see a lot better. But how sad is it when you turn the lights on and it makes no difference whatsoever? In a spiritual sense. Physically speaking, a blind person does not know if the lights are on or off. To give an illustration of and it's a simple illustration we have a blind man that attends our church in Collingswood, and he and his wife were downstairs in our basement, but we didn't know they were down there. Now she could see, but he can't see. So the lights to the basement, actually we have things down in the basement people can go down and look at, and things they could do downstairs. But when the lights were turned off, it didn't make a difference to the blind man. He was blinded at after birth. He was premature, and back in the 50s, I guess it was, they had these big heavy heat lamps to keep the babies warm, but something about those lamps caused him to lose his eyesight. But nonetheless, so he's been blind from infancy. But his wife was not blind. So when the lights went off in the basement, it didn't matter to him, but it mattered to her. But in the world today, people are spiritually blind. And so when we see the light comprehended it not, they didn't understand it. Most of the people that the Lord Jesus Christ interacted with, most of the people that we interact with about the Lord Jesus Christ, they're blinded. The darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness did not understand the significance of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in the next verse, question number three. Who wants to answer question number three? What is the name of the man who was sent from God? What's the answer?
It's John.
John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, and that's verse 6. Now, we have to read some more verses here. So, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So, go ahead, please read verse 7 there.
The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and all men through him might believe.
He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
All right, thank you for reading. So, in verse 7, the man sent from God, we see here, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Now, when we talk about a witness, what is our understanding in our modern day culture? What is a witness? What does a witness witness? What's a witness? How do we describe a witness? How can a witness be described? Someone sees something, and they tell about what they saw. That would be a good definition of a witness. Sometimes we think of in the context of court of law, that's what they're doing. They're seeing something or they're telling what they saw. This is what I saw. And then they have people that kind of examine them, lawyers, and say, well, did you really see it? You know, they want to make sure they saw what they saw, or they want to try to pretend or make it as though they didn't really see what they saw. But the witness. Now this witness, it's a true witness. John the Baptist here is a true witness. The same man. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. The word through him might believe. So the means of salvation, it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through anything else. The scripture is very clear here that it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be saved. All men through him might believe. And again, we see here that he's bearing witness of the light. He's coming before the Lord Jesus Christ to be a witness of and for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Again, it's being emphatically emphasized here. It's repeating. John the Baptist. Now, this is not John the Apostle. John the Baptist. He is not the light, but he is the one that is sent to bear witness of the light. Now we would think it would be. But see the point of why does somebody need to bear witness of the light? Because they're spiritually blinded. Everybody in that community, everyone in the world, every man, child, everyone who's born, past, present, and future, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, is born spiritually blind. And John the Baptist, it's being emphasized here that he is not the light, but he's coming to bear witness. He's coming to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man, every woman that comes into the world needs light, needs spiritual light. And that spiritual light is the Lord Jesus Christ. So anyone have any thoughts about these nine verses so far we've looked at. You see, we read verse 11. I think we've got a couple more verses here. He was in the world. Now, this is going back to the he. Now, what he is referencing who? The Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. He. Referencing back to the Lord Jesus Christ, the light, the Logos. He was in the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. And so when we see that, when we read this verse, I mean, this is our, he was in the world. The light was in the world. The Logos was in the world. The Word made flesh was in the world. Just to emphasize, what does that mean? He was in the world.
He came in a human form.
He came in a human form. The Lord Jesus Christ, God became flesh. He came in human form into this world. He was in the world. He wasn't apart from the world. He was right here in this world that we live in. He wasn't some far away someplace. He came right to this earth. He was in the world. How did the world treat him? The world received him not. He came into his own. First, the world didn't receive him, his own, meaning it's likely meaning his own people, his own Jewish people. His own, and his own received his chosen people, the people of Israel, his own received him not. Now, I think we stopped at verse 11, didn't we? So let's pick up with the verse. Now, his own received. Now, how, before we read the next verses, how horrible is that? The world didn't receive him, and his own didn't receive him. I mean, it's one thing for me to be rejected by people I don't know, but for my own close friends and family to reject me, that's even more harmful, hurtful. He came unto his own, received him not. In fact, they were even, some of his own were even looking for him. They were looking for the Messiah. But they were so in such darkness spiritually that they missed the fact that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. There are many Jewish people today that are still looking for the Messiah. Certain sectors of Judaism, people in Judaism, are still looking for the Messiah. Messiah has come. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Let me see, was there another question we have to ask first? Who made the world? Verse five, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that made the world. Okay, verse 12. Go verse 12, please.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is he whom I spoke with you, son of he that cometh after me is preferred before me, but he was before me."
Thank you. So we have here, but as many as received him. Now, so we have the verse 10, verse 11. He came, the world didn't receive him, his own people didn't receive him. So it's limited in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, as a kind of going back to a couple of verses before this, there are some cults or false religions, however you want to paint them, that do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They believe he was just a mere human being, And there's other aspects of strange doctrine that says, you know, that he temporarily became God, and then he lost his godship and all these other things. But the fact is, look, they're wrong. And sometimes they use a false Gnostic text to try and demonstrate the fact that, you know, he was just a God. No, he was God. He was a definite article. He was the God. He wasn't a God. Lord Jesus Christ is God. And so anyone that would say that he was just a man, he became God. I mean, there's some people that say, well, he was just like everyone else. And so this is our goal. He's our model that we one day could become God. Like, you know, just like Christ was, became God. No, that's not how it is. We are not going to become God. That's false. That's heresy. That's false teaching. Jesus Christ is God, and man cannot become God. We can't, that's wrong thinking for someone to say that. So, getting back to verse 12. But as many as received him, the word many, we know what many means. What's many mean?
A lot.
As many people, you know, a lot. It's a lot. As many. It's not limited, but as many. So we can't limit it to, oh, it's just this class, it's not this group of people over here. It's not limited. It says, but as many, the scripture says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. In John 1, verse 12. Now, when we see the word received, what do we understand? What does receive mean? How does one receive him?
By accepting him.
By accepting him, by faith? Any more thoughts?
It's a choice. It's no one demand. You know, no one is pushing you to do that.
Right.
It's a choice.
It is a choice. Good. Sam, go ahead. It's believing what the scriptures say. Hath received. But many has received him again, the antecedent, that's the word, the Lord Jesus Christ. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. We can become God's son. We can be a joint heir with Christ. But in order to do that, you have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. There is not universal salvation. There is not universal salvation. Salvation is limited to those who receive, those who believe. There are people today that we talk to, interact with in the marketplace that always want us to think that, oh, they have their own way of doing things, their own way of believing things. Well, they have the liberty to believe what they want to believe, but if their belief is contrary to Scripture, the Scripture is the final authority when it comes to eternal security, eternal salvation. If they fail to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they could tell us that, well, you can believe what you want to believe, but we do. We want to believe the Bible, and we have to be conformed to what the Scripture says. There are other parts of the Scripture. Many of us today have salvation clear in our mind, in our thinking. You know, it's by grace alone, by faith alone, by Christ alone. And it's nothing that we can do. For by grace you're saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There are people today that want to work their way to heaven, but their works will not get them to heaven. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Those that fail to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will not become the Son of God. They'll remain the children of the devil. He called the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, your father, the devil. We don't want the devil. People shouldn't desire to have the devil as their father. But they could become the sons of God, by believing and by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. talking about referencing spiritual birth, someone that is being born again. Now, verse 14, it's very clear to us now from verse 14 who the Word is. We identified who the Word was previously. But if we had any doubts whatsoever, in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm not sure we mentioned this, I think we may have mentioned this earlier, but what's the big fancy theological word for the Word becoming flesh?
Incarnation.
Jesus Christ becoming flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, was physically on this earth, the second person of the Godhead, when the fullness of time was come, the second person of the Godhead came to this earth, born of a woman, the virgin conception, the virgin birth. When the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is a very, very important principle to think about. How the only way mankind can have salvation is by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And people today, people that we know, even people that we don't know, they have to accept the fact that the only way to Christ, the only way to God is by trusting in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was part of God's provision for salvation. Step one, the Word becoming flesh. Step two, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, being crucified on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. And so people have an opportunity today to obtain Christ's righteousness if they receive what he did for them on the cross. If they believe that he's the Son of God, if he believed that he died for them. Confess our sins and believe that he died for them. The sin has been paid for on Calvary's cross. But until they accept that work of Calvary, until people accept what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them on Calvary's cross, they will not be able to be saved. They will not be able to be considered a son of God. They are retaining the sin of Adam when they fail to accept Christ as Savior. We interact with people like this on a daily basis. They're blinded, they're dead in trespasses and sin. We beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bear witness. What verse did you stop at? Did we stop at 16 or was it
15?
We stopped at 15? John bear witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Now, is there a question for this? Who bear witness to the word as cited, "This was he of whom I spake"? John the Baptist. He was the one that bore the witness. Now, for a moment here, let's talk about who John the Baptist is. He said, "He was before me." So what it says there in this verse, "John bare witness of him and cried, saying, 'This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" And so, not yet, but pretty soon. She was offering me a pair of glasses. Thank you. But it's getting close. What is the relationship between John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ, if any? Yes.
Cousins.
Okay. And so, if we look to Luke from Luke chapter 1. Oops, sorry. Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Does anyone know what Luke's profession was?
He was a
doctor. A doctor, yes, he was a doctor. The beloved physician. Luke chapter 1. And we'll see someplace. Luke chapter 1, right around verse 40 or so. Let's go back to verse 39 of Luke chapter 1. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, saying, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. So this here is a referencing here to the babe leaping in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, who is about 6 months older, six months older than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the response both of the babe, a person in the womb. We rejoiced when the news was given that Mary was bearing the Messiah. And so when we see here that knowing that John is 6 months older, which is not that much, of course, if you know of any family with about much of sometimes 6 months is a big deal. You know, if someone's just 9 months, a year older than somebody, it's a big deal in families sometimes. Same thing with cousins. Even if they're just a couple months older, a couple months younger, it seems to be a big deal. It's not really that big of a deal. It's just kind of a play, a playing type of big deal as far as who's older than the other one. But in actuality, John the Baptist is 6 months older, but we see here in verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me, as far as in birth, is preferred before me, for he was before me, referencing the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we looked at 15 verses here of John's gospel. Do we any more questions we have to answer? I don't think so. That was John. We got that. We got question 7 answered. So, what are some thoughts you might have about verses 1 to 15? Any thoughts? Anyone has? Yes, what are some thoughts you have?
I just wanted to ask, you said John was the cousin of Jesus, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, is Mary and Elizabeth's sister?
They're cousins.
Oh, they're cousins.
They're first cousins.
Okay.
So technically, there should be second cousins. We would say they were second cousins.
Okay.
I mean, I did say cousins, but they're Elizabeth and Mary are cousins, and so that makes the Lord Jesus Christ and John the Baptist second cousins. Thank you for noticing that. Thank you for clarifying. Yeah, that's right. Good. I'm glad you did, because they're not sisters. They themselves are cousins. That's good. Good. But sometimes we they're second cousins. That gets real confusing sometimes. Brother Jason, would you close your prayer this morning?
Our Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship around your word. We thank you for the questions that we're asking.
We thank you for bringing the preacher our way this morning. We just pray now that you would bless the next service to follow. And may the singing and the preaching all bring honor and glory to you. And we'll give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.